It is 2 a.m. in New York, 8 a.m. in Johannesburg, and 1 p.m. in Bangkok. Welcome to the Expat Happy Hour. This is Sunday Schneider Bean from SundayBean.com. I'm a solution-oriented coach and intercultural strategist for individuals and organizations, and I am on a mission to help you adapt and succeed when living abroad and get you through any life transition. She was telling her story, and as I was listening, a huge lump formed in my throat, and I had tears streaming down the corners of my eyes, down my face, and I had to interrupt her and say I was sorry, but I was so moved in that moment by the transformation that I had witnessed and the joy that filled my heart and does as I share this was overwhelming. I had not expected this emotional reaction to come while we were talking, and you'll probably hear it in the interview that I share soon. But is this kind of transformation that moves my heart that I want for you in your life? If you've been listening to Expat Happy Hour in the last few months, you know we've been focusing on connection, getting unstuck, purpose, and direction. Back in episode 74 to 77, it was all about reconnecting with yourself and others. 78 to 81 on how to get unstuck. Episodes 82 to 85, all focus on purpose. By the way, if you want more on purpose, go back to my earlier episodes in the 30s where I talk about purpose, because there's not enough we can talk about purpose, right? And since episode 86, we have focused on direction. I want you to get unstuck, get a deep clarity on what your purpose is, and then have the direction to move forward. If you want to do more with direction, don't miss the next free training called Your Direction Wake Up Call coming up. You can get the links in the show notes or on my blog. And make sure you listen to the end of this podcast to find out what you can do to get clear on your purpose and direction right away. So, what you are about to hear is really special. It is an unfiltered, unprepared conversation with two women who have transformed their lives, and they share exactly how they did it. In the first interview with Mel, you'll hear how she, as an experienced expat, said she went from feeling like she painted herself in a corner to feeling herself again, strong, and knowing what path was ahead. She even started an amazing new business. So if you're someone who's lived abroad for a long time and you feel like, oh no, I have gotten myself in a corner. Maybe you're married to someone from another culture. Maybe you've committed long-term to a new location. This one might be just for you. The second interview with Andrea shares her story of how she felt after years of moving from country to country for her partner who had the assignment, raising her daughter, and realized along the way she lost herself. She suddenly felt tired, sad, and was hiding it from others and maybe even herself as she kept herself busy. Now she's strong, knows what her talents and abilities are, and is so clear on her direction. She just launched a really impressive business this month. I have been doing this long enough to know that there's a high likelihood that part of their story is your story. Listen and find out. Along the way, you're going to hear some tips that you can use so you can achieve this level of transformation in your own life. Melanie is what you call a love pat, a Brit who fell in love with a Turk and moved to Turkey. Melanie is no stranger to change and has lived and worked in multiple countries on the planet. This woman can deal with change. But when I met Mel, I had no idea what was hiding inside of her, but I knew that together we could make some amazing shifts in her life because there was a change that she was ready to make in her life that she hadn't done herself yet. And that's how we came together. But to be really honest, I had no idea the level of transformation that was about to begin. So Mel, I'm so happy to have you. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you for inviting me.
So you just make me so proud because you're exactly sort of this amazing story of what's possible when you say yes to yourself. So for the people who are listening, tell us just a little bit about who you are and the real complexity of your international life.
Okay. Well, my name's Mel. And I, as you said, I came to Turkey. Actually, I was already here when I met my husband. So it wasn't like I'd made a change for someone else. It was I'd already decided to get myself here and met my husband along the way. But that did put a different perspective on things because then that meant I was committed to staying here. Mm-hmm. I've had an international life. I've spent some time in Singapore. That was about 20 years ago with my first husband, and then I was the trailing spouse, and I had my fourth child in Singapore, and I'd spent some time in New York in my 20s. My family is very international. My two of my sons have European wives, and the other two are living in different countries. One's in Sweden and one's now in Canada. So we're not strangers to this international lifestyle.
Right. And what I love about that is, you know, Mel, when I first started with my own company, I had this naive idea that I would work with new expats and experienced expats. And to be honest, I've worked 90% with experienced expats because exactly that reason. You've been managing this level of international complexity for decades, and then it just gets exhausting, doesn't it?
Oh, I was totally exhausted when I met you. I'd sort of, as I say, I'd come here and started a life because I wanted to teach English. That was going to sustain me. I met my husband. He works seasonally. So we kind of developed this routine, and we'd been doing it for sort of years. But after last summer, I came back from the UK and I just thought, I can't do this anymore. And the awful thing was that I'd created this life myself. I'd created my dream, but I'd felt like I'd painted myself into a corner.
Well, what was it that you didn't want to do anymore?
Well, number one, I didn't want to teach English anymore. And it was, I loved it. I loved teaching. I loved being in the classroom. But I felt after 12 years, it was not really going anywhere. I tended to do it in the summer when my husband was working as well. And I just felt like sort of everything was very quiet in the winter when we're here together. And then the summer just kept like it would go crazy. And I'd be in England and I'd be working all the time. And then I'd have a month sort of at home with my family. And I'd just be exhausted by the time I came back. And it was just like these extremes. And I just couldn't cope with the extremes anymore.
So what did you try? Like, what did you try before you got on the phone with me?
I'm not sure that I knew what to do, to be honest. I kept saying, I can't do this anymore. When I go back home to England, I'll stay in one place. I won't keep moving around. But that was kind of impossible because to see everyone, I had to keep moving around. I just felt stumped, to be honest. I just thought, I just know these routines aren't working anymore, and I just felt empty. And I just thought, I can't do this. I need some help.
God, I have chills up my arms right now. You talked about how you painted yourself into a corner, felt empty, stumped, not know what to do. I know there are people listening right now who feel exactly the same way. And this is why it's so exciting. That's one of the reasons why I wanted you to share your story. And you've been so kind to do that, because you are not there right now. Like, you are on fire. So I want whoever's listening to know, if you're feeling that way right now, it doesn't have to stay that way. Did you, when we started working together, did you think it was really going to work? Like, was this like your last shot, or were you really optimistic that some big changes were going to happen?
Well, I'd heard a couple of your podcasts already. I can't remember how I found you, but I just remember when I started listening to your previous podcasts, I felt, this woman's been inside my head.
That's creepy.
So yeah, it was. So you totally resonated. So some of the podcasts had already started helping. When I saw that you had spaces available, it was quite late at night, and I was on, you know, cruising the internet, and I just thought, I'll answer this. It's probably late in the day. I might have missed the boat. I'll just tell her how I'm feeling anyway. I probably won't hear from her. She's probably full. So when I woke up the next morning and you'd answered me straight away, it was like, oh, God.
Now I have to do something.
So I was very excited. I was very amazed that sort of like there was a connection there straight away. I did then go into my usual sort of panic about, oh, God, this is a big commitment. Can I commit? I know myself. I tend to fizzle out with things halfway through. That was my biggest fear, was that I couldn't trust myself to follow through.
Yeah. I remember that you sharing how you had a pattern of starting and stopping things.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was part of your fear of signing up. And I was like, honey, if I am by your side, I'm not going to let you get away with that.
You haven't.
When did you start to notice that something was changing?
I think it's been drip, drip, drip sort of throughout the year. I mean, looking back from where I am today to, you know, back to where I was a year ago, there's a huge difference. But I think it was just making those curtains in the beginning. You know, those curtains.
So tell the audience why these curtains are so significant.
Because as you say, you know, I like to start, I get all these ideas and these plans, and I can do many things, but I just never get around to doing them. And I don't know why, but curtains are a thing in my life. That I've moved so many times, I don't like wasting money on buying new curtains. So I had these, I've only got tiny windows here, so we've kind of made do with curtains that I've brought from other houses. And, you know, they never quite fit. But I've got a sewing machine I'd never touched. And I knew I could just do these curtains, but everything else just used to get in the way. Mm-hmm. So the first project was like, you are going to do these curtains. And you're going to get the sewing machine out, and you're going to take pictures, and you're going to put music on, and you know, and you just gave me all these little directions to actually just get on and make them. And
that started a lot of momentum, didn't it?
It did. And I think the other thing is that I have this thing in my head that they've got to be perfect. Everything's got to be perfect. But it doesn't. And I think that has actually... has been a big realization, is like, done is better than perfect.
Right.
You know, go for 80%. It doesn't have to be 100%. And that was a huge relief, actually.
Right.
So
really, habit so many people struggle with, right? I even call myself a recovering perfectionist. That once you get that out of the way, like I always say, get over yourself. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It frees up so much more. I literally am choking back tears right now, Mel. I can't. I had no idea this was going to come up. I've got a tear running down the side of my face because I'm so proud of you. Can you tell the audience a little bit about like the Mel before and the Mel now? Like give us just a little caricature, you know, of your average day or how you felt about yourself, what you did versus then and now.
Okay. I think what had happened was that I think having been a mother of four, they're all grown up now. But wherever you are, you kind of have this sense of responsibility. It never goes away. But it seemed sort of redundant now that the boys are older. But I think I just felt I still had to be responsible for everything, everybody's well-being. I tended to put everybody else's emotions before my own. And you know, I was the one that moved away. There's this sort of, not specifically said, but this sort of guilt tripping from your family back home, or you chose to go away. I think you just kind of build up coping mechanisms to deal with it. And I felt like I'd kind of, as I say, I'd sort of hemmed myself in, and I didn't really have a right to complain. I didn't have a right to want something more.
Right. So where are you at now? Like, I mean, can you even believe where you're at now? If you think, if I had whispered in your ear a year ago what your life would look like now, would you have believed it?
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't have believed. You know what? And the belief is self-belief. Did a lot of comparing of other people. Why can they do it and I can't? I can do all these things, but I can't get myself organized. And so the whole year, looking back over my workbook, it's just been so funny because I have been like all over the place trying this, trying that. But I think what has happened is that it's kind of come together now into one purpose. I can draw. I realize I can't do everything at once. I can't be good at everything. So to just focus on one thing that's drawn all those things together, I can pace myself and I can use those skills and pleasures to and bring them in bit by bit to what I'm doing. So it's like I can see a future of things that I can do, but as I say, it doesn't have to be all at once and it doesn't have to be all perfect. And I realized
I hear you, I feel like, you know, my reaction is that you're minimizing. I mean, what you've done is freaking amazing, and I'm gonna say a few general things and you tell me if I'm sharing too much and we can edit it out. But
right.
What I've seen you do, I've seen you completely take charge of your health.
Right.
Like, amazing. And you know our little inside joke about the thing that you're most proud of. That's what I'm thinking about. So you taking charge of your health, you taking charge of your schedule, your time management, going back to you as an artist, doing more of your art, getting back to that again, and then becoming a business person, like the confidence to do that, setting boundaries, taking on complex things, you know, logistically, governmentally, also, you know, personally that are going on. It's amazing how you've shown up this year.
I certainly feel very different. I mean, a lot of this, I realize where I am lacking in skills, you know, it's like the business thing. I've had no training in being a businesswoman. When I did graphics in the past, I always worked for another company. So I could do the design, I could do the skills, but the skills that were actually missing was pitching and selling yourself, and that's been a huge thing. And now I realize it's just, I've just got to learn those skills. That's it. That's the end of it. And it is still, you know, I am scared, you know, even coming on and doing this is a big thing for me. But I just think, well, if you don't try it, you'll never know. And things like the government paperwork, well, they never go away. I just had to learn to again, pace myself and just deal with it bit by bit. It always feels heavy. It always feels like a monolith. But it's dealing with the emotional side of that, and breaking it down into the manageable parts.
You know what, Mel? I don't know if this surprises you or not, but every single time I do something like a podcast, it scares me and I feel really vulnerable. And I do it anyway, every single time. Wow. Like the last one I just did, I hated it. I even said in my newsletter, like, I wanted to edit it, to re-record it every time, but I do it anyway, because what's my option, right? It would slow me down. I would share a fourth as much, right? Yeah, it's just like, scare yourself and do it anyway.
That's right. That's
so
right.
So we've talked about like the amazing results you've had. The self-belief, the direction I've seen you have by far are the most life-changing things that I've seen happen with you. Let's be honest. What's the tough part? When you do something like the Year of Transformation with me, what's tough about it?
I think the toughest part is actually that you have to face some unpleasant truths about yourself, perhaps. I think I haven't actually shared this, but I think maybe I was kind of prejudiced about other expats. I think from previous experiences in the past, I'd built up this wall of, I don't want to get too involved. And that's not very nice, actually, when you think about it, but it came from somewhere. I think also you have to be honest with yourself or you won't get anything from it. You have to be prepared to go through. There have been some really crappy days. But that ties in with the best part of it has been that you have been there for me to, I can write to you and say, oh, I'm feeling absolutely crap and this is what's going on. And knowing that you've been there and come back to me and said, no, you're not crazy. as I say, that there have been hard days emotionally, but I think you just have to, if you don't want to face up to it, then nothing's going to change.
Right. Yeah. Oh, I totally know what you mean. I mean, even though I am an experienced coach, I'm still growing and I'm still changing. And it's like every time I come up against a new thing, it's like, oh, crap, here we go again.
Yeah. I think, you know,
I have to face this and move through it.
the bad days never go away. You're always going to have bad days. I think it's just learning to deal with it differently. Instead of dealing with it, you know, the way you did in the past, it's like, well, stopping to think, where is this actually coming from? And then trying a different way of dealing with it.
So you are just blowing me away right now. I mean, seriously, I'm just to the everybody who's listening, I did not prompt Mel to say any of this, but what you're saying is everything I believe in, right? And this is why when I talk to people about Year of Transformation, I talk about how this isn't just an investment in yourself for 1 year, it's an investment for the rest of your life. Because what you were just talking about, your strategies on how you deal with the tough stuff, it changes your life.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
So who is this perfect for? I mean, you have one very specific situation. If you think about if someone's listening and they're like deciding, is this for me? And I don't want to put you on the spot. You can say, oh, I have no idea. But what comes up for you when I say, who is this is Year of Transformation perfect for?
Well, I think having been in sort of Singapore as a trailing spouse, I understand that part of things as well. I think anyone who feels that they've run aground with their strategies and needs some assistance in moving forward. Anyone who knows that there's something more inside of them but can't quite find the way out to get onto that path. I think that's it specifically.
Yeah. Something more inside of you, but you don't know how to get onto that path. I think that's really well said.
Right.
Oh my gosh. I didn't realize how emotional I would be. Seriously, I'm so proud of you. And I care about you and your success so deeply. And I obviously, if I'm like barely almost ugly crying on the call, it's terrible.
I can't see you. But, I'm sending you a virtual hug. Yeah.
Okay, good. I want to brag on you a little bit if you don't mind. Mel hasn't been sharing much about what her talents are, but one of my favorite parts about my job that I've seen, especially with Mel, is I get an inside view of her talent. And Mel has shared with me paintings she's done, graphic prints, drawings. I mean, it's amazing. And I'm so lucky. I feel like I have a private view into a gallery. And Mel, you are so talented. I did not know that was coming. Like when we started working together, I had no idea you were sitting on that talent. And it wasn't like when you started sending me stuff, I wasn't like, oh, that's nice. I was like, wow, you know, that this was something. I'm not a singer, for example. I don't have one of those talents. You can go up in front of an audience and wow 1,000 people. I'm not an artist. So when I see something like that, I'm blown away. And I think, how in the world can you be hiding that amazing talent? Because if I could do that, I would love to share that. And it's such a gift to other people. So in our process, Mel has discovered a way that she can incorporate her talents. And tell us how you're doing that. What are you up to now?
So I've started working with this company called Zazzle, who are a print-on-demand company. And they provide products for you to put your designs on. So what I've done is actually, I'd done a drawing of my wedding bouquet of roses. And the picture frame had broken and it was just sitting on the floor gathering dust. So I photographed it and I put it onto a cushion. I uploaded it onto a cushion and then sent them to my mom and my brother as birthday gifts.
And they loved it.
They loved it.
But Mel, tell us why you do what you do. I want them to know your big why. What are you going to do to help other expats?
Well, I found that this was a really nice way of being able to send something to loved ones overseas that was personal and something special, something that meant something to loved ones. And as I say, it was a very personal thing and it was one of a kind. So my brother and my mum both say that they've got my artwork not hanging on the wall in their house, but on their settees. My mum said the other day, actually, she said, oh, every time I look at that, I think of you.
That is exactly why I love what you're doing. My father turned 70 yesterday. And I thought of you. I thought, I wish I had something that I could do to show my father how much I love him and how significant I think his 70th birthday is.
Right.
I know that all the people who are living international lives who are listening also want to express their love, even from a distance, in a way that's unique and special. And I love that's what you do. Where can they find you? Where should we go online if we want to find more about what you're doing?
Well, I'm still at very early stages, but I have a blog, which is sunhobo.com, or you can email me there at Melanie sunhobo.com.
Melanie, any last words for anybody who is on the fence about Year of Transformation? What would you say to them?
I would say if you're on the fence now, you'll still be on the fence in a year's time. So just jump and let yourself be surprised.
As you can see from the emotions that welled up in me during that call, that working with Mel has been such a personally rewarding and joyous experience. And she has truly transformed herself from feeling empty, lost, and painted in a corner to being confident and having a clear direction of what she is going to do next. And how that utilizes her skills and talents and also makes her money. So next, you're going to hear from Andrea and her journey. So I met Andrea back in, I believe, 2016, right after I had just spent 10 months solo parenting my children and living between Burkina Faso, Switzerland, and recently South Africa. And I remember getting a phone call from Andrea, and she was calling, I think, from Nairobi. And little did I know that my life in transition and what was happening then would be then mirrored later on in her life. But this woman has been such a pleasure to get to know and learn what her strengths are and her talents that revealed themselves along the way. So it's my deep pleasure to welcome Andrea to Expat Happy Hour to share about her real life transformation experience to inspire you to take on your own in whatever form that you do it. So Andrea, welcome to Expat Happy Hour.
Thanks, Sunday. I can't believe I'm doing this.
I'm so proud of you. Yeah, you're doing a podcast. See, this is what happens when you do coaching with me. You do things you could never imagine before.
Right, exactly. This is what happens through your transformation program. That's true.
So, Andrea, tell our listeners a little bit about who you are and share a bit about the complexity of your international life.
Yeah, who am I? I'm back in my home country in Germany, but the last 10 years before we lived on several continents and countries, starting in the Caribbean and in Trinidad and moving from there to Thailand. And yeah, the last 2 years of our expat assignment was in Nigeria, actually.
That's right, Nigeria.
Yep, in Lagos, right. And yeah, what started was being really excited and just jumping into this new experience ended up in Nigeria was being really, yeah, kind of two words I would say is sad and desperate because I kind of lost myself along the way, not knowing anymore what I want, who I am, and what would be the right next best direction to go.
So tell us a little bit more about that. You said that you lost yourself along the way. How did you, this is one of those things that doesn't happen overnight. When did you start to notice that you were losing yourself?
Maybe I have to explain that when we went to Trinidad, I had the idea just studying for an exam. And I thought, okay, this is a 2 year assignment. After 2 years, I will be back in Germany, do my exam, start over again here. So that doesn't happen. So the assignment was then 3 years, then 4.5 years, and then next step was Thailand. So, and in Thailand, after let's say 4 or 5 years, I already noticed, okay, I'm off track here. And it somehow felt okay because I have my daughter I have to take care of, and I made myself pretty busy at school, so I didn't have to think about it. And I was avoiding to think about it, to be honest.
That reminds me of the podcast I just did about filling your time is not a goal, neither is coffee. A lot of people fill their time with things to avoid answering the question, what do I want?
Right. I just lost it. I didn't know anymore.
You know, and what I love what you shared there is that you made a plan for 2 years and then it became three and became four. And I have so many clients where, you know, let's just go to Moscow for two and then it becomes, you know, add a zero on that.
Right, exactly.
So you said you were feeling, you were feeling sad, you were feeling lost. Like, what were the signs? Like, who would have known, or would anybody have known that you were feeling that way?
I think I was hiding from the outside world. Most of the people didn't know at all. Maybe a few close expat friends knew that something is odd and not right. Actually, my husband is the one who realized it, that I wasn't myself anymore. I was often sitting there and the tears were running for no obvious reason, and I couldn't explain it. It just was something inside of me that needs to come out, whatever it is. And I couldn't name it. That's the point. I couldn't name it. And so if you can't name it, nobody can help you. So I needed to find someone who can help me to find the words for what's going on.
So what was like the last straw where you're like, you know what, I'm not going to do this on my own anymore? Because obviously tears are falling. You can't explain what's going on. What made you say, I have to do something?
Actually, I was just tired living a life was what you always call without purpose. I had no job. I had no really nothing. I mean, I could make myself busy as I did the years before, but I knew deep inside that this is not the way to go. Mm-hmm. And I just didn't know what to do.
So you were feeling low, like you said before. You felt like you lost yourself. When we did start working together, when did you start to notice that things were changing? Or how did you notice that things were changing?
Actually, after every session, you start to notice that things change, because no matter how sad or tired or bad I felt, after each session I felt better, no matter what the topic was. Mm-hmm. So that's the first thing. Mm-hmm. I guess it's just you need to find someone to talk, who understands you, who has gone through a similar experience. And I had no one who felt so deep and felt so, I kind of, at the beginning, I felt embarrassed to ask for help. That's a huge thing for me too.
You are not alone. There are a lot of people out there.
I know.
Hey, my own journey, I totally get that. It took me to have kids and get an iron deficiency and work full time till I actually started to learn how to ask for help.
Yep.
I get that. It's so hard.
Yeah, it's not my mentality. I didn't grow up like that. So I did everything on my own, figure out everything on my own. And I came to the point where I just couldn't do it anymore. Yeah. I was at the end of the rope.
Yep.
That's it.
So you said you started to feel better after every session. And then when did you start? So that was obviously from the work that we did, the perspective changing that was going on during the session. What about in between sessions? What was going on for you?
I was more active, I would say. The point where I got structure back into my daily routine, I got more active. I started meeting with friends, or started walking again, just to, it really literally changed my perspective, not sitting in the house or in the living room anymore, or in front of the screen or something. Mm-hmm. And that's the first shift, I would say.
So I know what you've gone through. Like, I know where you started and I know where you're at now, but the people who are listening, they have no idea. So can you share more, like, the before and after? Like, you shared a little bit about who you were before we started and who are you now? What is the transformation from your perspective?
I guess the biggest thing really I learned is to ask for support. It sounds so similar. It sounds so easy, but it's not. It wasn't for me, not at all. And now it's the easiest thing to do. I mean, coming from that point where you're embarrassed to ask, to starting a business where you support other people, that's way more than one step.
Exactly. So I'll never forget, Andrea.
And the way in between, that was a tough one.
Understatement of the year, right? So if you don't mind, this is how I would use something you shared with me once, and you tell me if this is okay to share. But you said, I asked you for feedback on what's the results of your transformation, and you told me, going from desperate housewife to entrepreneur says it all.
Yep, exactly. That's exactly the way.
So how do you do that? How do you do that?
Yeah, I mean, I did it with your help, but step by step, figuring out what I like. I mean, I remember you asked me, just flip through Pinterest and look through photos, things you feel comfortable with, things mm-hmm. you like. And then figuring out step by step a list what your talents are, what you're good at. Or you asked me to ask friends how they see myself, what my strength is. And that was when I think about this list and all this feedback I got from my mostly expert friends, my tears are running, really. Mm-hmm. I would never describe myself this way, and I really saw my talents and my strengths that I can use to live a life of purpose.
Well, that was honest, Andrea, that was such a turning point that I remember we were talking about this, and we were going through like, what are you good at? What have you done? And this happens to me all the time with my clients. All of a sudden you pop up with like this, oh yeah, I'm certified in A, B, C, D.
I was one of them.
Are you kidding me? Like you in it, from the outside, it's so obvious, you know, what your skills and talents are, but somewhere along the way, you stop seeing it.
True.
And then when you have it in front of you, like your friend's comments and your CV and those sort of things, you can't ignore it anymore because it's the reality.
Right.
That was so fun. I remember that. I love it when that happens. So of course
it's really
together.
Like a recipe.
What did you say?
It's just these talents and strengths. It's like a recipe you can build on.
Yeah, and it builds your confidence in what you're doing. I mean, obviously, I have the methods to lead you through this process, but you showed up, right? What are you most proud of about how you showed up for this process?
Most proud of? I guess most proud of that I really, really called you first. And that I actually have the self-motivation to continue.
Yeah.
Because I didn't see myself as very disciplined or self-motivated.
Mm-hmm. So people who are listening right now, regardless of whether you're interested in your transformation or not, you might be interested in your own transformation. So what I'm hearing from Andrea is that the first step is that she asks for support, whoever it comes from, right? And then you, along the way, discovered what you want. And then you got really clear on what your skills and abilities are, talents. You were able to see the gap between your self-perception and the reality in your CV, from the feedback from your friends and colleagues. And that created this momentum of going forward. Tell me where I'm wrong.
No, it's exactly how that happens. Same way.
Yeah. So we've talked about all these great things, but let's be honest. What is the tough part about engaging and committing to something like Year of Transformation?
The tough part is sometimes the way you push mm-hmm. myself, thinking mm-hmm. beyond the box. Mm-hmm. And just going further and yeah, when you start to realize what you have to work on and what you have buried inside of yourself, all the pain, all the sorrow, all everything, and this all comes out mm-hmm. and needs to be solved in some way, this is a tough part. Mm-hmm. It feels, but it only feels tough in the beginning. It's really the first step. Mm-hmm. Once you talk about it, it's all good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a relief.
Mm-hmm. I just talked to someone about this, and she said the pushing, it's not being pushy. It's pushing at where there's a bit,
potential.
Like a, how shall I say it? Like where you're putting up your defenses.
Right.
And yeah. One of this other client that I was talking to, she said that, you know, the resistance I put up, so she'll resist it. Because she wants to protect it. That keeps you safe, right? And I know from my own journey, I mean, I have a coach that I commit to, and I do the same work that you do for my things, because I really believe in that partnership of going further. When she gets on something, it's like, damn it, you found something. Now I have to do something about it. Like I was getting away with my BS for so long, and now you called me on it.
right. Yeah, I mean, you know absolutely when the client comes up with some kind of resistance, that this is a point where you have to push forward.
Yeah.
This is where the potential is, where you can really move forward and find something, a change, a transformation, mm-hmm. something. Yeah.
It takes a lot of courage to show up like that, Andrea.
It does.
So what's the best part? That was a tough part. What's the best part for you?
The best part, I can share a kind of, maybe personal experience during that time where I really thought, okay, this is the best that came out of it. It was the situation where my husband lost the job, and we had to decide within a short period of time frame of maybe 2 months or something, what will come next. And I was sitting there, I was sad and the same way like he was, because we didn't want to end the expat experience. We didn't want to go back to our home country. But there was this voice inside kind of that said, on the one hand, the best is yet to come. Mm-hmm. And I knew that I found my strength back to get to become active and to really actively create the next steps in our life, something I haven't done for years. Mm. And there was this feeling, this emotion, this state I was in. I can't really explain this. That was overwhelming for me in a very good way. Mm-hmm.
You're giving me a lump in my throat right now.
Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, what I'm hearing is that you were in a tough situation. I mean, I know there are people listening who've been in that situation where you're just like, are you kidding me? This is what we have to deal right now. And what I'm hearing you say is that even though it was hard, you knew you were strong.
Yeah. Well, that was really one, it was the strongest feeling I ever had during this journey, where I really felt, yes, I'm back. I'm here. I have a backbone. I have ideas. I have thoughts where to go and what to do and what's next. And it felt good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even if I wanted to go this way, but it felt good.
Right. Yeah. And what I, that was a really important part, because then you had clarity on what was next. Like, you knew no matter where you were in the world, what you were going to create.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, so can, would you mind sharing more about what, because we worked together in Year of Transformation and then we kept going on this next exciting project. Do you mind sharing a little bit about what you're doing now? Like, what's this thing? What's the what's next for you?
Yeah, the next big thing is doing my own business, which I started a month ago. Legally started, and it all came really out of the expert experience, and all the my passions for health, for design, for supporting people, helping people in their life, and so I decided to start a business called Feng Shui and Wellbeing.
And I've had the luxury of being able to work with Andrea and with the Feng Shui piece. And your one thing I love about working with you on that piece is that you demystify what it is. You help people from the outside understand what it is and what it isn't. And you've got this such a relaxing, grounded way about you. It just makes you feel comfortable with the process, because if you don't, if Feng Shui isn't your space, but you're curious about it, you just, you provide this safe space to understand, okay, what's going on? How could you modify? How could you optimize in a way that doesn't make you feel stupid for not knowing this already, and actually makes you feel motivated to make changes because they're not overwhelming. So I can say from my own experience, you create such a great space. But you've got your website coming up at, Andrea Puck, A-N-D-R-E-A-P-U-C-K, right? That's how you spell it.
Right.
That's coming up if people want to check it out. But more importantly for me from this transformation is, you know, if I, on that first phone call, when I was sitting in South Africa and you were in Nigeria, if I had said to you on the phone, you're going to be a business owner, and you're going to work with clients in Germany and internationally and offering something that is a value that you love, what would have you said to me?
I would have said, you're kidding. That's wouldn't be, no, at that point, it wouldn't, not, I wouldn't even think about it.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I was, at that point, I was lucky to survive from day one to the next, and no way.
That's what I love about this. It's like when I hop on the phone with someone and you're at that space, right? And I know there's something amazing possible. I have no idea what that is, right? We didn't discover that until a little bit into our process. And then when it happens, it's so motivating to me. So what I'm seeing for you, and I think is applicable to the people who are listening, is that you can be in a space where you feel like you've lost your way, you've lost your identity, you don't know what's next, and that it is possible if you show up to the process, allow yourself to look at your rough edges and the places that need to be seen, and you do the work, you can actually take on projects that you would never imagine. And that it sounds like hype, and it's not, it's your real life. So who do you think this is perfect for? If someone's listening, you're like, oh yeah, they these are the type of people who totally need to pay attention right now.
Personally, I think every expat or every person who wants to live abroad should have this experience. I mean, at the beginning, you are very, you're very hyper, you're very excited, everything is new. And at that moment where you realize, okay, this is just another daily routine abroad, this is where it actually kicks in and you don't realize it. It slowly creeps into your mind, and then you really need to think start thinking about what your life's supposed to look like and what you really want. Mm-hmm. And stop keeping yourself busy. This is, I guess, the best advice I could give.
Stop filling your time. That's right. And start doing that. And I think that's probably why you felt so powerful when you made the transition to Germany, because you had something beyond your kids and your partner. You had something for yourself. Mm.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. So you have...
I had a plan.
And a plan. Exactly. So any last minute advice that you would give to someone who is sitting there and saying, I feel stuck. You know, you've done this, Andrea. You've transformed your life. There are going to be people who are listening who want support in that process. There are going to be people who are listening who are going to do it on their own. What advice do you have for them?
I guess I would say yes to yourself. Don't think, just jump. Mm-hmm. It can only get better.
Yeah, that's great. So again, people can find you online at your first name and last name, AndreaPook.com. If someone's listening and they're actually really interested in Feng Shui and they want to learn more, who are you perfect for? What kind of person can you support?
Normally, I would say anyone who is interested. But I often see those people who have a shift in their life, a change in their life, where they see, okay, I need something new. These are the ones who like to look at their space and like to look at their life in a different way. I mean, Feng Shui is not all about color. It's also has to do with a lot with the personality. It's both.
And that's what I've loved learning from you too, is how one or two concepts, when you apply it to whatever's happening in your space, can be really powerful. It goes way beyond what most people think of Feng Shui. So something, you know, what do you say it? Like esoteric in Chinese that we don't understand, or it's about matching colors and pillows, which is totally not the case.
There is such deep science behind it and calculations behind it. That's beyond everything you could imagine what's possible in that way.
So Andrea, I just want to say thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day and your full life to share your journey. My hope is that someone listening today knows that they're not alone, that, you know, what you've shared with me about how you felt right before we met. I know there are so many women who are like that. And what actually drives me, crazy is this thing that, you know, you said you were hiding from the outside world and only a few close friends or your husband knew how you really felt. There are so many people who are walking around playing okay, but when they get home, that's when the real emotions come out. And it's like, enough of that. I want to stop this stigma or shame around saying this is hard, right? And so that's why I really appreciate you sharing your story, because I know that you were not alone then, and I know that there are a lot of people listening now. So truly, thank you from the bottom of my heart for sharing your story.
Thank you, Sunday, for giving me the opportunity.
So if you've made it this far in the podcast, you might have tears streaming down your own face, because their story is your story. There are parts that I know resonate with you, and I want you to know that you're not alone. I'm so grateful to you, Mel and Andrea, for so courageously sharing your journey, right? They did this for you. If you're listening, they did this for you, so that if you hear their story and you say, that's me, that's where I'm at, you'll have hope. You'll know that you can get to an unimaginable place in 1 year because they did. Why can't you? These women are living proof. So are the dozens of others who've come before them, who completed Year of Transformation, who have equally amazing stories. Now, if this sounds like you and you've got the tips from their interviews and you're ready to do this yourself, I would love to hear from you and tell me what resonated and what you're going to apply. But maybe some of you are thinking, you know what? It's a lot like what Mel said. I know myself. If I'm on the fence now about doing something, I'm going to be in the same place next year. All right. So this is your opportunity for you and I to hop on the phone and talk about Year of Transformation and whether it's a good fit for you. You can go to sundaybean.com/year-of-transformation or just look in my show notes or blog for the link. Because I want you to be telling your story of courage, strength, and transformation by this time next year. You've been listening to Expat Happy Hour with Sunday Bean. Thank you for listening. And remember, in the anonymous quote, the truth lies there. You are only one decision away from a totally different life.